That is clearly a reference I don't get, but it's still funny.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's our annual OmegaCon episode. We've been playing board games all weekend, and we want to tell you which ones we played that are awesome and you should try yourself.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Molly Glover.
I'm doing arms. You can't tell. I'm making all kinds of arms.
I'm doing arms.
We are at OmegaCon. OmegaCon Fall 2016.
Let's hear it, audience.
Yay.
No, that's just me. No, that's just me clapping. There's no one here.
You know, and I'm just going to address the elephant in the podcast right up front. Yeah. This is last week.
Right here, Tim.
Last week, there was an election. We did an election podcast.
There was.
And we're not going to fucking talk about it.
Not
right
yet.
Now. Not yet.
Not ready.
We need a little while to process. If you want to know what we think about what happened last Tuesday, you could listen to last week's episode, our Election Day episode. It'll probably give you a pretty good idea.
Bet you can guess how we feel.
But enough of that. Enough of what
complicated emotions.
They're not. Well, anyway. So we're going to talk about games because that's what OmegaCon is. It's not all that it's about.
It's one of the four pillars of OmegaCon.
It is certainly.
Games.
It's like saying Convergence is about cosplay, or Convergence is about party rooms, or Convergence is about panels. It is about all those things. They are each a thing. But yeah, OmegaCon's about board games.
So yeah, if you've never been to OmegaCon, if you're local, or even if you're not, we've had a few people from out of state come and join us. It's a very small con, about 150 people.
Yeah.
And
it's weird because I feel like I know about 120 of them, if not by name, by sight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a really tight group. The nice thing, it's super welcoming of new people because since so much of this con is about sitting in a big room and all playing board games, it's like as soon as a board game starts up, if you want to play a board game, nobody cares if they know you or not. It's just like, I got an extra space. Come on and join me.
I feel like this is the con when I get to know my acquaintances.
Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's
your Facebook friends become real people.
Yeah, they're humans. There are two OmegaCons, one in the fall and one in the spring. Molly and Nick, it's during Molly's birthday, so you guys don't usually go to Omega.
No, we do Omega Fall.
You go to Omega Fall.
We
I go to
spring.
Both.
We did the first couple.
We did one spring. Yeah,
but if you're interested, check out the OmegaCon website, or you could shoot an email to me, and I'd be happy to tell you a little bit more about it. Tim@geekswithoutgod.com. But we're going to talk about the games that we played this weekend.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
So I guess the first question is, new game that you played this weekend that you really liked.
Okay, I will start. The new game I played this weekend that I really liked is Dream Home.
Oh, yeah.
So full disclaimer, I worked on this game. It is a Wind Rider game in that... The studio that was Wind Rider is it's an offshoot of FFG. It's their own company, but my old manager is the publisher in charge of whatever, and so he comes to me when he knows he needs help with translated from another language into English, and now they need it cleaned up and made to make sense. Uh-huh. So I got to work on the rule book for this, and so I knew it was a fun game, and I bought a copy and I brought it, and we played it last night with our friend of the show, Hedge, and her friends and our friends, Brixton and Maya. And it was really fun. It is a game where each player has two to four players. I guess they didn't play with us. It was just the three of us. They were just Brixton and Maya were just our drunk cheerleaders at the table.
Great.
So we had a home board which has 10 spaces. There's 12 spaces. There's five per floor. There's an upper level and a lower level of your house. And there's two garage/basement spaces. So you're going to, there's like a main board where you're drafting cards and you deal out resource cards, which are things like roofs and tools and helpers. And then there's, you know, the decor, which are worth points. And then there's the room cards in the bottom level. So you're always going to take a pair of cards. You're going to take a room and its matching resource. And sometimes that sucks because you don't want the resource or the room.
Right.
But you want one of them and you have to take something. And so it's kind of a drafty game, kind of a luck game, kind of a planning game. You can expand rooms and put, you know, decor tokens. And it's a very cute, light, It's yeah, filthy it's, casual.
It's quick.
Game.
It's quick. Yeah. Like yeah. maybe
you,
a half.
You played it with Eric Knight too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. It's maybe a half hour if you teach and to teach and play.
Yeah.
It's maybe yeah. a half hour yeah. game. Yeah. So,
the most aggressive thing you can do in the game is eliminate a resource someone else might need.
Yeah.
And or take the position of first player.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's. It's not very directly competitive.
No, it's just a kind of a very, yeah. I would say, family-oriented game for sure. Something that you could teach to kids as young as 6 or 7.
For sure.
And they would have no problem with it. But it's also fun for adults. I mean, I don't know. I like easy. I am a filthy casual. I will admit it full on. I like playing easy, fun it's games.
Fake geek
I'm
girls.
I'm a fake geek girl. Yeah, yeah. I like the, I just like being able to sit and play and have fun and not sure. be the whole fucking thing.
Well, they're great. I mean, OmegaCon, we play all these games, and I like the fact that it's like sometimes I'm in the mood for kind of an involved game that's going to last an hour, two yeah. hours. Sometimes I'm in the mood for a quick game like Sushi Go or,
sure.
or,
Dream, Home.
Or Dream Home. And all of those games are here.
Yeah. yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, Dream Home is great for that. You know, I want to play a half hour game. I yep. got, you know, I'm going to go out to dinner. I want to go see a movie or whatever the fuck you want to do.
Exactly.
And you can pull this game out. You can play it beginning to end in half an hour.
Or in my case, like if you are, you know, fairly extreme introvert misanthrope and maybe you're like, oh, there's 4 people who want to play this game, you know, and I'm one of them, but I don't really know the other people. It's not like you're committing to spending the next 2 to 3 hours with people you don't know.
Yeah. yeah.
Which is another thing that sometimes that can be a problem for me in OmegaCon where it's like, I want to play this, but I don't know you. And if you are not, if we don't have a similar play style, this can be an unfortunate 2 hours. But it's nice and fast.
Sweet. Yeah, so Dream Home is Molly's recommendation.
Yep, by Rebel Games. You can find it at asmodee.us.
Or at whatever game
or
dealer.
Or Amazon, your FLGS, whatever yeah. you want. Yep.
Nick, what new game or game that you played that is not new would you like to highlight?
We haven't played a ton this weekend, but I think my favorite is... gonna be the Iron Throne.
Nice.
The sure. Game of Thrones Iron Throne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I played that one with you guys.
Yeah.
I like games where you can be like bastardy to people, and it's a Game of Thrones game where you can be bastardy to people.
Oh yeah, it's like diplomacy where you lose friends.
Yeah,
or you could.
You could, yeah, because it's like you create alliances, but the alliances break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically,
they got
in seconds.
It's so when you don't. You don't have a choice who you're attacking or who's attacking you or whatever. Fate kind of forces your hand into... So you might have an alliance with another player. Your things are going really good. You're helping each other out. And then, boom, that player's turn rolls around and you two are forced to attack.
Because they draw your card in the event. Yep.
And neither of you has the ability in your hand to do a truce. Mm-hmm. So you guys have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that there's this uncontrollable circumstance that you just can't, like, steamroll other players. Like, there's some
yep.
mitigating factors there.
You can't just gang up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the first time we played, like, a 3-player game, and I grabbed the Marjorie.
This was at our friend Mark's house.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of D&D, because a bunch of our D&D guys bailed on us that night, so the 3 of us just played this.
The first time we played, it was great. I got to learn the rules with the character I picked.
Sure.
Her power is just worthless in a 3-player game.
Huh.
It's not worthless. You only get to use it twice. Instead of maybe yeah, 4 or 5 times.
Right.
Yeah.
But then we played a 5-player game, and I picked a different character all the same just to try out new things in the game. I think that game is so much fun with 4 to 5 players and
yeah.
kind of uninteresting with 3 players. There's less...
So advice with Iron Throne is you probably want to play with
4 to 5.
4 to 5.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, because, I mean, 3 is fun. 3 was a good time. It's just that, like... I don't know, I feel like it's a little paper, rock, scissory.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's just like the 3 people constantly attacking
yep.
each other and supporting or ganging up with the third wheel kind of
right.
latches on to whoever is the aggressor or defender
yeah.
usually.
Tim, what house did you play? I don't remember. Do you remember who you were?
Crap. I was, see, this is the, you're
that's
asking.
That's fine, I know.
Targaryen.
Yeah. So Tim, you played one that has a lot to do with like hostages and then other people
yeah.
having support or not support. So like when a 5-player game like we had, it works out. You got to use your power a few times. But in a 3-player
yeah.
game, that can be a little harder.
Yeah, my
yeah.
power was sweet because it was like if you lose on defense, you don't get the negatives. So,
yeah.
So I would go in on defense a lot of the time just because it's like, oh, it looks like they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right by me.
I'll take my shot.
Yeah,
because
I won't
suffer penalties.
And
yeah,
it'll be fine. And if they win, then great. I get the benefits of the victory. And if they lose, then I don't lose anything in the.
I think my favorite is what's it? Tyrion Lannister's ability. If he's your main character, if he's your general,
leader,
he can, before the battle cards get flipped, he can announce that they have negative values.
Oh,
yeah.
So if you can dupe someone into playing their like 20,
sure,
against you, their highest card of the game, and you play your one, or better yet, a card that's worth nothing,
yeah,
just to get it out of your hand, you can be like, actually, these are worth negative values, and all of a sudden their 20 is a negative 20, and you have zero, and like
that works.
It's
at least, well, probably once.
It only works if you're the active player. So if you're attacking, or you're defending. Yeah. It doesn't work if you're supporting anyone. But just being able to have that as a threat was really handy, because someone was like, you know, let's truce or something, because I don't want you to like flip. I don't want to have to play this like, is the Iocane powder in my glass or yours type situation, which totally happens with when Tyrion's in play.
There's another character who, instead of what Tyrion does, making them negative, what Olenna Tyrell does is she can swap the values of the two cards. So when they're face down, and you've played yours and I've played mine, let's say you played a 3 and I played a 7, but you don't know that.
Right.
You can be like, you know what? Olenna's going to swap these two cards. So you can always play a low card and then just switch the values.
Right.
So, and then they get revealed, and it's like, great. And so you can do that to truce break. You can do that to all kinds of things. It's really great.
You could put down a truce card and swap them.
Yes.
And force them into a truce that you break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And take hostages and stuff. Yep. That's awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a game that, I will say, I full disclosure, I worked on this game too. It's a game that the more you play it, the more you realize the devious machinations that can go between stuff. So,
sure.
But at the same time, it's really pretty easy to learn.
It's definitely easy.
It's a sit down and set up and start playing, and you figure by your second or third turn, you're like, cool. Either I chose poorly, and now that I understand the game, I want to reset, or cool, now I get how the game's played. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So my favorite game, the new game, and I played a lot of new games this weekend. I kind of made it a goal. That I would like find games that I hadn't played yet and try and play them. So it's like, I didn't necessarily play any Seven Wonders, which is a very popular game.
I played that last night. It was great.
But I love Seven Wonders. I did play Seven Wonders Duel, which is a fine two-player
version.
I've heard
that's really good.
And we can talk about that later. Yeah. But the game that I played, I just finished playing it before we started recording this episode. It's called the Castles of Mad King Ludwig.
Yeah.
Which is a fun little... It's a drafting game, basically. You're trying to build the most elaborate, weird castle. It's got a nice payment mechanic in that there's a master builder, and their job is to basically set up what rooms are available for purchase, and they go from cheap to super expensive. And in order to purchase a room, you have to pay the master builder. So on any turn that you're the master builder, what you really want to do is put the most desirable rooms in the most expensive spots. Mm-hmm. So other people wanting those rooms are going to have to pay you a bunch of money.
How many players is it?
It is up to four.
Okay. Did you play with the full four?
We played with the full four. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for how well it plays with fewer than four.
Yeah.
I think with four, it played pretty well. One of the disadvantages for the master builder is you go last. So
you
set out all the rooms, and you might be like, oh, I want that fucking room really bad. Well, you're going to be the last person to get at it, and probably if it's a nice room, somebody else is going to take it.
Yeah.
But hopefully if you've done it, if you've had at least a good span of luck and strategy, you're able to make a lot of money off of that particular, even though you go last.
Right. Yeah. And then the game is set up so that there are bonuses that play out every time you add a room. If rooms are adjacent to other rooms, to certain other rooms, you can get bonuses that are pluses or there are minuses. It's like you don't want this room to be at, like the rooms that are basically the party rooms, the big banquet halls and the music rooms and all this other stuff.
Sounds a little bit like Dream Home.
Yeah. You don't want them adjacent to sleeping rooms, because if you're trying to sleep, you don't want to be right
party.
Next to, yeah,
of
you don't
course
want to be
not.
Next to a party.
It's a mad castle. It's not that mad.
Ludwig is mad. The castle itself is not necessarily mad.
I will say, I looked at the rule book because I was talking to Tim a little bit while they were setting up that game, so I checked up the rule book, and Nick, let me tell you, in this game, all right, you're all in Bavaria. because that is where Mad King Ludwig is very big. Yeah. Right. So yeah, it's a I just like the idea that like you are actually building him crazy castles. Was yes. Like they had a whole like about King Ludwig and everything.
And he built crazy castles. I've been to one of King Ludwig's castles, and they're pretty fucking crazy.
That's
castles.
Awesome.
Huh. These gigantic opulent castles.
It's like the House on the Rock of castles.
Kinda.
Oh, that's
kinda.
Amazing.
So it was a really good game. It's very quick. Once you know how to play it, I would say it runs 45 minutes to an hour.
Sure.
With four people. I won, so that made
me. Hey, even better.
My first game nice. Against three experienced players, and I beat them all. So I'm on top of it.
Well done.
Yeah. Molly and I, one of the first games we played when we showed up today was a lighter game that I think is my new favorite alternative to Cards Against Humanity.
Hmm.
Cyanide and Happiness
and like has joking a game called hazard.
Joking Hazard.
Oh yeah, yeah. I saw it. I didn't get a chance to play.
Is it Cyanide and Happiness? Yeah. It's not Chainsaw Suit. No. It's okay.
It's Cyanide and Happiness, and so instead of it's like apples to apples or Cards Against Humanity.
Sure,
but it's three panel comics.
Okay,
and so the deck flips over a card that is either going to be the first or second panel of the comic, and the panels are always. Some variation on blue shirts on the left, green shirt is on the right, and there's some words or sometimes just expressions or gestures or dancing or crying or butt fucking or blood spurting from somewhere or whatever. But they're stick figures, so like you can't really get too upset about it. And so the person whose turn it is then puts down one of their cards as the panel preceding or following the panel that got flipped. And then everyone else picks a card that's going to be the punchline.
And then
the third panel.
Then the judge basically decides which of those panels makes the best cartoon.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, the card that gets flipped will be a red card. And they're rare. But if a red card gets flipped over, that is the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else draws a couple more cards.
Puts down.
And then they put down two.
So you got to have the setup.
The setup to that. And the punchline cards are usually...
pretty offensive,
The more like, holy shit, what the hell? Like kind of a...
Yeah.
Like one of them was like a geyser of blood shooting out of his... like
penis.
Clearly out of his penis, but like... But also, how do they make a penis on the green-bodied stick figure? They just... like make a little pointy,
like a phallic
green
shape,
phallus like it's on his green
like
tunic.
It's poking out of his tunic, and there's no penis. It's just like his boner through his clothes is giving off blood, and then he I think he screams something like "suck my AIDS" or something like that.
It's very ridiculous. But so it's an offensive game and it's a dirty game, but it's offensive and dirty without the. I know some people hate this phrase, but I don't care. The politically incorrect nature of Cards Against Humanity, where Cards Against Humanity, you could say, like I don't have a problem with the game, except for that I think it's a little boring sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with someone saying, I don't like Cards Against Humanity because it might, like, marginalize a group or, like, make fun of
it something. It marginalizes every group. I mean, let's be clear.
But someone,
every group.
I could understand why people wouldn't play it, because it's not for them because of subject matter. But Joking Hazard might be an acceptable swap for that because it doesn't. There's no mention of race or children or.
There's more nuance.
Politics. Yeah. It's just two different colored shirt stick figure dudes.
I don't know if we've talked about it on this podcast or not. Cards Against Humanity. The thing about Cards Against Humanity that doesn't work for me, I think, is having worked with Vilification Tennis Races, having worked with Blue Humor, having worked with Offensive Humor for so long, Cards Against Humanity for me is kind of like yawn.
It's Vilification Amateur Hour.
Yeah.
It's just like
you don't have to do any writing.
Yeah.
You just have to put down a card.
I stopped playing Cards Against Humanity at MegaCon a few years ago, and that was when we were playing a game, and I was with a bunch of people. Didn't know them all. And one of the cards that was played was super racist. I mean, it was played in a racist way. Yeah. And so it was kind of like, haha, everyone kind of laughed at it or whatever. But then once another one was chosen, and I was the judge, and I was like, who played this card? Like, that was crazy. I'm just curious, who played this card? And no one would fess up to it. And that's where I was like, I'm fucking done. Because, like, if you're not going to admit that you played the card,
you gotta own
then that makes... Now, suddenly, the game has taken a whole other cast. Well, like, it isn't fun anymore. Now it's like, so now you're just being secretly racist? Like, just say you played it. Like, yeah.
Can we say, oh no, it's the game that's racist, or it's the game that has these issues, and not us? Then there should be no shame in saying, oh yeah, I played that one.
So it was funny. Like, yeah.
But if you're not admitting to it, then you're doing something wrong.
In your own mind, and you go, yeah, I did it.
Our families are always like, whenever it's the holidays, it's always like, yeah, bring Cards Against Humanity. So I'm really happy that we can bring Joking Hazard instead, and it can be a very similar game that we cannot have to.
A lot of people love Cards Against Humanity, and to me, it does really come down to, this is humor that I'm so used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is kind of.
You can write better jokes than this. Without using cards.
Joking Hazard's a little better. The three panel comic thing is.
No, that sounds fun.
We should play it later. I think it's
I love it.
There was something else about it that I can't remember. Group size. Like Cards Against Humanity, you could play with, 20 people if you want.
Sure. Or three.
But I would say, because it's pictures on cards, it's not like Cards Against Humanity where you're just reading them out loud. Everyone has to kind of see, oh, they're crying, but there's sexual tension in this stick figure picture or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think like 5 or 6 at most, if you have a good table that's close. Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like 5 at the minimum, and I would say up to 8 easy.
Really?
Like, yeah, I think 8's a good number.
I feel like that big game we played last night was so cumbersome.
There were like 11 people in that game, so that may have been
a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. Because people just kept, because it's one of those games where people can just come over, and they're like, what are you doing? Like, have a seat, deal them in, we're playing this game. Like, there's no turns or like whatever.
It's not a big commitment, like Cards Against Humanity. Yeah. You can add drama.
Yeah, we laughed. They kept playing. Like, So
an example of a game that I played that's similar to that in terms of, people can just join in is a game called Telestrations.
Telestrations
is super fun. I had my first chance. And the great thing is, it's, again, almost zero entry.
Yeah.
One round takes like 15 minutes and you can be like, I'm done. Yep. Or you can play another round. You can play it for 3 hours. You can play it for 10 minutes. So the basic idea is you pick a card and they roll a die and there's phrases or words on the card.
Yep.
So then what happens is you have to draw that word.
Like Pictionary.
Pictionary. Yep. So the word might be Halloween.
Yep. And so everyone has a whiteboard. Like kind of thing, like a flippable whiteboard.
Flippable whiteboard with dry erase markers.
Yep.
So you draw, and it depends on whether it's odd or even. But let's say it's
odder, and so you draw an odder.
Well, no, it's odd or even number of people. So let's say it's an even number of people. If it's an even number of people, you would draw first. If it's an odd number of people, I would actually just write down the word and pass it to the next person. So anyway, because you want to get it back around to you.
Yeah.
And the word is otter, and I'm going to try and draw something that will get Molly to believe that I just wrote otter.
Yep. So then I get it from you, and I look at this drawing, and all I have is this drawing, and I'm like, oh, that's a weasel. So I flip the page, and I write the word weasel.
Yep.
And then I hand it to Nick. And then Nick goes, oh, cool, I can draw a weasel. And so then Nick tries to draw a weasel. And maybe the next person who gets it is like, cool, a raccoon. Or even like worse, like there was one time where they were supposed to draw a raccoon and the next person thought it was a burglar.
Yeah.
So they wrote burglar.
Right.
And then draw a burglar.
Then you're totally off the rails.
And so it's telephone.
It's Pictionary telephone.
Pictionary telephone.
Yep. There is a scoring mechanic. I did not play with it because who cares? It's just silly.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who wins. It's just about watching how this thing can progress from one thing to something just super absurd.
It's a very mimetic game. It's really fun.
Yeah.
And I love, so I was a huge champion of this game when I got my job, when I was first working at Marbles in 2011. I was like, this is amazing game.
I haven't played this game, but it's been around for a while.
Yeah, so like when one of my favorite things about it, I brought it home for the Christmas that year, we were all playing it, but one of my favorite things is sometimes you get phrases, not just words.
Yeah.
Like it'll be like taking candy from a baby. and you can't say to the people like, it's a phrase.
No.
It's not a word or whatever, which is, it's super fun. I like that game. I think they even say in the rules, like there's a, if I'm remembering correctly, there's a paragraph in the rules that's like, don't score this game. It's silly. It's just supposed to be fun. But if you're the kind of person who has to score a game,
that's kind
of
like
here's
kinda
how
like
you
concept.
Keep score. Yeah.
It's kind of like concept in the sense that, there is scoring if you really want to, but the whole point is to just have
fun.
The Lego Creationary game.
Yeah.
They literally say in the rule book, they're like,
hey man.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Our European socialist standards don't really play well with rule following and this capitalist concept of points or whatever.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a fun game. I was super happy that I played it. So it's about time for five questions. Before we do five questions, yeah. Just if there's one more game, new Ooh. Or old, that you just want to mention, we will go around the horn one more time. I will start because you guys are thinking. So I played Secret Hitler, which is a lot like Resistance, except there are secret fascists in the government of Germany, and your goal is to basically either elect Hitler chancellor or pass enough fascist laws that the fascists take over.
Boy, that's cutting close to the bone.
We thought about playing it, and then we were you don't want
to... Well, close to the bone these days.
not talking politics, but it was a... I'm just going to say, you know, it's like Werewolf, it's like Resistance, it's very much the case of...
Mafia Vendetta.
People have secret roles, and what you're trying to do is figure out who the people with the bad agenda are. But it had some nice mechanics that made it different and interesting.
That's
so
cool. I've heard good things about it.
Check that one out if you're into that kind of game.
I'm going to say, honestly, like we mentioned it earlier, but I had only played Seven Wonders once, and that was about 4 years ago. And I played it again last night, and it's fun.
It is.
I'd forgotten how fun it was with the drafting. I love a draft game. I'm a sucker for a draft game because I always like the idea of making the choices that you don't know what's going to happen later, and then being like, past Molly fucked me. Like, what was she doing? Like, I got nothing now. But that was a lot of fun. And then of course we played Salad Bowl.
Seven Wonders Duel, by the way, is a two-person version of Seven Wonders. Really, it's quick.
People play it at work a lot.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm excited to check it out.
I'm trying to think of, because I don't feel like I've played a ton of games.
Yeah, I haven't played a ton. You felt pretty ill last night, and so you laid down for a while.
Bad vertigo from ear problems.
He's got ear pain.
But
and then Friday we got here so late.
I did play a couple games of... another Game of Thrones game that Molly worked on.
Oh, yeah.
Hand of the King, which it's a super simple, very, very easy game. Yeah. You don't need to know anything about Game of Thrones. No. But the
it's
Game
got
of
a
Thrones.
Nice little cartoony art to
the
it.
The Game of Thrones art is just fucking adorable. It's based on the book descriptions of the characters.
This guy drew everybody.
So Dany has violet eyes and that sort of thing. Aerys looks just fucking awesome
crazy,
and crazy.
Long, crazy fingernails.
Yeah.
And
it's like...
Marjorie's got nice tits. She does.
Yeah, they,
super
it's true.
Cartoony boobs.
And it's kind of a... You're on each person's turn, they're taking control of the Varys figure and moving it in a direction and collecting all of a certain suit or house in that direction.
Yeah.
And there's different suits have different numbers of house members in them. Whoever controls or ties for the most of that house controls that house's banner. Whoever has the most banners when the game ends wins.
Yep. Again, it's super simple. Maybe 10 to 15 minutes play.
If you're playing like a, what is it, three players and up or two?
It's two and up.
If you're playing a two-player game, heads up, it's like,
it's 2 to 4.
It's quick. You're gonna like zoom back and forth, and
I've seen two player games played like chess.
Really?
Where it's slow and deliberate, and it is like they're trying to think four moves ahead.
Let me just say I hate players like that.
Yeah. That's there's some people.
If you're a player like that, I don't hate you personally. I just don't ever want to play a game.
But it's with a bigger group of people.
Yeah.
I feel like you really have to think about the consequences of your moves.
Absolutely.
More, and how. By fucking one person over, you could be like limiting the amount of moves that they have, and so they could be giving a great move to the next person.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, me.
Before we do five questions, do we have Patreon people to name?
Whoa! We actually have a couple people to give a shout out to. We have Ryan Stello, who actually had like a clever pledge amount of the CD.
What did he pledge?
666.
Yeah, $6.66.
So,
pledge of the beast.
And that brings us to a Patreon update. Actually, hey guys, we bought a button maker.
We did. Thank you for helping us buy a button maker.
Yeah, with some of the money from a live show and a little out of pocket and money we've made through Patreon, we bought a button maker. So we're working on a couple different button designs right now, fairly actively. It's gonna be great. And then Robert Hurd also edited his pledge, so now he's an early episode access.
Yeah. So you upped it from like $1 to $2.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, just, so yeah, Robert Hurd.
So we've got that going for us. Thank you so much, you guys. It's really awesome.
And seriously, if you like, what's the button size? It's
1 inch.
1.25. One and a quarter.
So it's 1.25 inches. If you're like, oh, I totally would love it if Geeks Without God made a button that was based on my designs.
Yeah.
If you have like an idea for a button design for us, we'd love to hear.
Yeah, you can send it to all@geeksthatgod.com or to Molly, Nick, or Tim at geeksthatgod.com.
We should like come up with a new Patreon goal that's like getting artist friends of ours to make.
I like that.
Oh.
To make.
I bet we can get Chris Jones to do something.
Friend of the show.
We'll talk about this later.
I like that.
It's time for five questions.
Molly,
what can you tell us about our five question answerer for the day?
I will tell you, we've got 10 answers to both sets of five
questions.
Son of
a bitch.
That's right. They're quick answers from Marilyn Haskey.
Marilyn.
Marilyn is also known as Ms. Mims in the Twitterverse, if you're interested. And here are her answers to the. We'll do the new ones first.
All right, so the original. The current five questions. Question number one, what's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
Probably 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's a good movie.
I love 2001, but I don't know that that's a movie I would stop and watch anytime it was on.
That's not a stop and watch, that's a stop and get stuck. Like.
I have a feeling, based on Marilyn's other answers, that Marilyn is a big science fiction nerd.
Fair enough. But it's a good movie. No doubt.
Question two, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
My USB hashtag TARDIS hub. Yes, it's only a little geeky, but I love it. That's a great... I have that same hub, Marilyn. That's,
I do too.
That's a great thing.
I do too.
Yep,
USB TARDIS
love it.
Hub.
Yep, it's great.
Nothing better. Question number three, what supernatural or mythical being do you wish was real?
Thor, but the Marvel version, because he seems to be a, quote, good guy.
He seems pretty good. He seems like a good dude.
He seems like a decent guy.
He's all right.
He's all right.
He's unworthy.
He's unworthy.
He is currently Thor the Unworthy.
These days, he's unworthy.
He is.
Question number four, say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
A toss-up between hashtag greed and hashtag animal abuse.
Those are bad things.
Yeah, I can see that. Animal abuse is absolutely... All right.
We're not going to mention the election in relation to those questions. Question number five, what is your favorite quote?
This one's easy. Somewhere, something incredible is waiting to be known. Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan's phrased science thoughts in such a thoughtful and interesting way.
He's very eloquent.
I feel like Neil deGrasse Tyson is...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a very good follow-up.
Yes,
for
he is.
Like, Neil deGrasse Tyson is like the reincarnated Carl Sagan.
Wonder,
if they weren't alive
meet?
At the same time, they did.
It's a heart-wrenching, adorable story.
Tyson tells this amazing story.
I'll have to watch it.
He was a teenager when he.
I'll have to watch it. That sounds great.
And for the
original questions, Nick,
I didn't even fucking remember
what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
That's question number one.
I haven't watched a movie in the last 30 days. I've had other crappy concerns on my plate.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Sorry to hear that, Mary. Marilyn?
Question two is, who's your favorite atheist character?
Yes, it is.
She says she doesn't know of any.
Okay. Right.
That's her answer.
Question three, what's your geekiest hobby?
Yeah, it's hobby.
Dreaming of life on other planets.
Yeah, question four, your favorite sandwich?
This is the longest answer Marilyn's given us.
Marilyn cares about
sandwich priorities. All right. Favorite sandwich is tomato, paper thinly sliced onion, cuke coins, lettuce, fresh baby spinach, and as much avocado as I can get on it, plus fresh mushrooms, sliced if I have them, with deli mustard and some freshly ground pepper on wheat.
Huh.
Hashtag mmm.
I'm pretty sure she's a vegetarian.
No mayo, no Miracle Whip. The Avo takes that place, and it tastes better, and it's better for you. Agreed, Marilyn. I love this either toasted or a plain old cold sandwich. Big old spears of deli pickle on the side. Let me tell you, this sandwich is heavenly.
Heavenly.
Quote. She put heavenly in quotes. It's a very ironic heavenly. Yes.
I can't abide by raw onion on a sandwich, but it sounds good otherwise,
But it's paper thin, so there's not much.
It's wafer thin.
It's wafer thin. You'll not even notice.
The fifth question is, what's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said about your atheism or...
Someone saying to me, you're not an atheist. Why? Because how the bleep dare he tell me what I am or am not, or what I think or believe? Hashtag just saying. Yay for atheists going through their lives without mumbo-jumbo, lies, stupidity, at least on the religion front, fakery. Let's just try to be the best we can be and hashtag practice kindness.
Yeah,
that's my two cents.
I agree. I do hate that. I do that oh, you're not really an atheist. It's like, oh, yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
That is so...
Fucking passive that is the wager. Biggest,
it's, yeah. it's like going up to a Christian. It's like an atheist going up to a Christian and go, you don't really believe in God.
Right?
Yeah.
You would never do that.
Yeah. It's just like, what kind of an asshole
it's
are you?
It's so condescending.
Yeah, it is. So that's pretty much our episode.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Thanks, Marilyn, for your answers to our questions. You can, of course, send in your answers to our 5 questions, new or old. We don't care. We'll read them on the air. 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Do send them in, and we'll get to them. We're about, I don't know, we're only about 2 months ahead.
These were in May, so we're running about 6 months ahead, but we have...
That's not a long list.
We've only got 5 in the hopper, 6 maybe. So
there's room. There's room.
We definitely will get to
it. And it will be a shout out on the air. You'll be famous. You'll be internet famous on Geeks of God. You should think about that. As always, you can follow us on Facebook. You can like us on Twitter or do the opposite. We don't care. You can also, of course, support us on Patreon. We are still working on that $100 level. We will get there someday. I am confident. Think about us for a Christmas contribution. If you're thinking,
that's a good point.
Because we would like to get that $100 level, pick up slightly better equipment.
That's true.
But we've done all right so far. We've got a button maker. We're going to have Geeks Without God buttons just all over the fucking place.
Yeah, we're thinking about making special buttons for when we have a live show, so that if as convergence counting, so if you come to that, we might have a special button just for that.
Yeah.
We have a lot of other cool ideas. So if you have an idea, it doesn't even have to be a design. If you have an idea for a slogan or something, even just if you're not a visual person, but you're like, I'd like to have a button that says this, let us know.
We're in for it.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks for listening. We have been Geeks Without God. And just remember, next week we will be 1 week further from Armageddon. Thank you.
Bye.
Dear Upper Deck, we will happily endorse your game for product. Call me.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
Mollyism. It's a goat.